Welcome to the Transforming Aging Summit 2015, where conscious aging experts are gathering to shift the paradigm of aging to one of vast potential infused with vitality, passion, purpose, continual growth, and service, all to help you make your later years your best years. We appreciate you sharing this information with your friends and family. And now, founder and director of the Center for Conscious Eldering, and organizer of the Conscious Aging Alliance, and author of Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, your host, Ron Pevney.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Transforming Aging Summit, featuring leaders who are working to support an empowering, life-affirming vision for aging in today's world. I am Ron Pevney. We're delighted that you're joining us for this summit and for this session with our special guest, Kathleen Erickson Forder, who is going to be sharing with us about the importance of conscious aging. Kathleen, thank you so much for being here. It's a real honor to be with you. I know that you are doing so much, and your work with the Institute of Noetic Sciences is doing so much to help us understand what it means to be conscious as we age and how we can grow in consciousness as we live each day. What I'd like to do is briefly share a bit about your bio with those who are not familiar with you. Kathleen Erickson Forder is the Elder Education Program Manager for the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And for the past 5 years, Kathleen has been the Project Director for the IONS Conscious Aging Project and the author of the IONS Conscious Aging Facilitator's Guide and the Companion Participant Workbook Publications. And the IONS Conscious Aging Program is in part a dynamic network of over 300 facilitators worldwide who set up and conduct conscious aging workshops for elders in their local communities. Kathleen has a BA in psychology and master's level study in special education from Cal State University. And she completed 2 years of advanced study with the late Angelus Arian in the cross-cultural components of leadership and the application of cultural wisdom traditions in contemporary life. So welcome, Kathleen, and thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much, Ron. It's wonderful to be here.
As we get started, I'd like to remind our listeners who are listening via the web that if you have a question for Kathleen, you know, as you listen to our discussion, please type it into the question box on your screen, and we may be able to respond to a couple of those questions later in this session. So, Kathleen, to get things started, I'd like to ask you how you position life in the third phase of life. And you do position life as having three phases. How do you see the third phase of life as being different from the second phase, which is our middle-aged years?
Right. Well, that's a very good opening question. And I think that it is important that we understand that moving from our middle years into the third phase of life that we define as 60s and beyond is really a distinct transition. And the things that we care about, the time that we have, the soul challenges, if you will, and the challenges and opportunities of aging are really very distinct. One of the people that I really love who has talked a lot about this area is Lars Torstam, who talks about gerotranscendence. And he says gerotranscendence is a shift in meta perspective from a materialistic and rational vision to a more cosmic and transcendent one. normally followed by an increase in life satisfaction. And some of the things that, that he tells us in his theory is that people become less self-occupied and more selective in our choice of social and other activities. We may feel an increased attachment and curiosity about past generations. We have a decreased interest in superficial or unnecessary social interaction, and a decreased interest in material things, and a greater need for positive solitude and meditation. And our fear of death hopefully begins to disappear, and a new understanding of life and death emerges. And he says we have an increased feeling of cosmic community, communion with the spirit of the universe, and a redefinition of time and space. And I think that he really sets a beautiful frame for some of the types of things that we are moving into in the third phase of life. And, you know, one of the things that I was thinking about in terms of listening to all of the different speakers that have been a part of this program is that we're all beginning to define and sort of touch into the philosophy of what does it mean to have to age positively, and what does it mean to age consciously or to age successfully. And we've talked about different aspects of that. You know, is it being judgmental if we encourage people towards social action? Is it elitist to think about conscious aging when so many are struggling for basic survival? And how do we integrate multiplicities of voices from different cultures, ethnicities, economics, and personal interests? And these are some of the things that have been talked about in our conference so far. And I'd like to add in the difference between the age that you are and the major life issues that you might be dealing with. If we define life as the third phase of life as 60s and beyond, that's quite a long age span. It could be 30 or 40 years of your life. And I think that there's no one-size-fits-all for everybody all through those 40 years. I think in the beginning, as people are beginning to transit from their middle years into their third phase of life, they're looking more at the philosophies of things. You know, what's my vision for this stage of life? And how do I make meaning out of this stage of life? And how am I going to spend my newfound free time? And what can I learn from others who have gone before me? Those are the kinds of questions that may happen in the early phases. If you're a person who maybe is dealing with a chronic illness, your questions are, or chronic caregiving for someone who has a chronic illness, the kinds of questions and issues that you're going to be facing in terms of conscious aging are going to be very different. And when you're in the final stages of life and maybe facing the frailty of your body, you're going to be very interested in a different kind of question for conscious aging. I remember talking at one of our retirement communities and talking about Bill Plotkin's theory of human development, in which he urges us to mentor children and grandchildren and to give our time and service to community. And a woman came up to me afterwards and she said, you know, a lot of us here have given a lot of our time in our retirement. We've volunteered, we've served on boards, we've started efforts. And she said, and we're, in the main, most of us, closing down on that now. And we're thinking more about our end of life. And we're just enjoying being peaceful and quiet and rest. And we are made to feel guilty sometimes by this urge toward activism. And I thought that was very interesting. And so I think that the third phase of life has many different voices depending on the stage that you're dealing with and the age that you find yourself.
And would you agree, Kathleen, that it's not just about age and stage, but it's also about our unique individual differences? There may be, you know, there are some people at any age, you know, in the third phase of life, who very much want the kind of peace and contemplation you're speaking of. But there are others who are just, and I know some of them, and you do too, who are just so strongly called to be there taking stands, you know, to be conscious activists. And there's no, like you say, there's no one-size-fits-all way of aging. It has so much to do with coming to know what our own unique needs and our own unique inner call is.
That's absolutely right, and I love what Rick Moody said yesterday about that, that, you know, as he was teasing out the nuances between, you asked him to describe the difference between positive aging, productive aging, and conscious aging, and he had a very good definition for each of those and how they might be unique and how people might be drawn to each of those depending on what calls for them. And to make room for a multiplicity of interests. But clearly, there are many who are drawn to giving their time and energy toward what they want to see manifest in the world. What, as Meg Newhouse was just talking so eloquently about, what their legacy is going to be in terms of their time right now, and what they want saved from their life is a very important component of it.
Yes. You know, Kathleen, we are using the word conscious a lot, you know, already in this summit, and it's going to be used a lot more. We talk about conscious aging. We talk about consciousness. And I'm not sure that we have yet actually defined what that word conscious means, and I think that's so important. So would you share with us what you understand when you talk about the word conscious? And consciousness and conscious aging.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, we have a definition that we've just published in our Conscious Aging newsletter about consciousness. So I'm going to read that, and then I'll sort of do a riff on that beyond it. But what we say in the newsletter is we typically think of consciousness as our thoughts or our cognitive processes. But it's so much more than what happens mechanically in our brains. For example, our gut feelings, our intuition, evidence for distant healing, and so on. And then there's also the role that consciousness plays in how we relate to the world around us. The beliefs, the emotions, the filters we use that make up our own particular unique worldview. And here's the thing, no one has yet really fully defined consciousness or knows its origins or even why it exists. It remains one of the greatest and most studied mysteries of human existence. We know it's there, and we can at least describe it in general terms. So, you know, for the past 40 years, the Institute of Noetic Sciences has invested in research and program development and publications in the area of consciousness studies. And it's a vast area. There's many different theories. There's many different points of view about it, many different ways to describe it. And many people who, that's all they do is to study the different philosophies of consciousness. So it's really a very loaded word and concept area. But to sort of demystify it and make it simple, in my mind, it's anything that happens in our interior world. And it's not only, though, our thinking mind. It's things that happen in our body, all of our senses. You know, we have a variety of intelligences. You know, our gut has intelligence. Our heart has intelligence. Our skin. You know, people talk about getting goosebumps. You know, it's like that's your body mm-hmm. telling you something, right? And so consciousness is all of that. I mean, another way to talk about consciousness is to say full awareness. Everything that comes to you from all of your internal world and the external world. And Another way to think of it, though, also is to think of yourself as having an observing self that can watch the thinking mind, that can watch the body, and watch all of the inputs that are coming in. That observing self, that full awareness, is what we call consciousness. And as we move into thinking about conscious aging, it's using all of our interior world to, you know, our emotional, our psychological, and our spiritual lens to look at our life and really look at the challenges and the opportunities of aging so that we really maintain an open and accessible heart no matter what the circumstances. So no matter what life throws our way in our aging process, that we really strive for an open and accessible heart. And, you know, there's not a lot of control that we have over our external circumstances. In a way, aging is kind of like a card game, isn't it? You get dealt a hand, and maybe you get a hand that has a lot of good cards in it. You get the longevity card, you get the able body card, you get the able mind card, and life is good. But maybe you don't get that. Maybe you get a shorter life or a card with a chronic illness that you need to adapt to. And so how do you bring an open and accessible heart to even the most difficult of external circumstances? You know, we don't get to choose what happens in the outside world, but we can choose what happens to us inside of us. And at the Institute, we believe that consciousness matters, and that consciousness matters because the quality of our consciousness really defines our experience. Most people think it's sort of the other way around. It's sort of like what happens to us makes us who we are. And, of course, in part it does. But it's also how the quality of our consciousness and the quality of our being that defines how we experience the world. And an example of this I loved yesterday in The Art of Aging when Richard Matzkin was talking about, you know, when we look at an aging body, you know, what do we see? You know, the aging body is sort of in the winter of its season. And is winter, you know, less beautiful than summer? He asks us. And then he said that it wasn't so much the aging body, but how the viewer observed the body. And if you observe the body with love, then you saw the beauty of the aging body. But if you view the aging body with disgust, then that's what that's the meaning that you're going to put on that body. And I thought that was a really beautiful concept, a really beautiful idea, and I really resonated with it. And it illustrates how our consciousness defines our experiences. So we don't get to choose the cards that we're dealt in our aging process. And that idea alone can give people some anxiety because we can't really control it. It's a mystery. We don't really know. But we can work with our consciousness to avoid letting those challenges to keep us from being locked in any fear or limitation or isolation, and work with our consciousness to increase our ability to stay in love as often as we can, in as many ways as we can, and for as long as we can, regardless of the external circumstances.
Kathleen, I think that the definition of conscious aging that you just shared with us is one of the most beautiful and powerful that I've ever heard. That conscious aging is growing to live with an open and accessible heart in whatever circumstances life presents us with as we age. That is so beautiful. Yeah, thank you for that. So I'd like to ask you, how does the IONS Conscious Aging Program support people in living with an open and an accessible heart? Tell us a little bit about the program and what led you and IONS to develop it, what need it serves. Just begin wherever you'd like with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Well, the first thing I would say is I'd like to answer that with my personal passion. I listened to your bonus materials, Ron, and you talked about your personal passion in conscious aging, and I thought, what's mine? And I realized that what I love is dialogue. That space, that field where people can come together and where multiple voices can be heard, and where there's not one right perspective or one person's story, but we listen to the complexity of the diversity of multiple voices. And as such, we expand our awareness and sort of make meaning out of our life. And I think in many ways, aging is, to me, like a new frontier, isn't it? I mean, I don't know what it's like to be in an aging body. I don't know what it's like to deal with some of these issues of aging. I'm a little afraid about it, frankly, if I really admit it to myself, about some of the things that could happen. And I'm curious to know, how do people find resilience and find positivity no matter what they may be dealing with in their aging? And so to come together in dialogue where you are really listening deeply to each other, to multiple voices about aging, that to me is really juicy. I love it. And I think that it's a key underpinning of what the IONS Conscious Aging Program is a series of conversations that are really choreographed for people to have an opportunity to hear different voices on a variety of topics related to aging. We look at life review, which Meg was talking about this morning. We look at forgiveness, how to build self-compassion, how to reduce our fears around death, how to surrender, let go, and how to create a new vision of aging. Those are some of the topics that we deal with. But we deal with them in a process, a choreographed process of a dialogue. And I think that people are very hungry to have these conversations. They're very meaningful for them. And so that's in part what we do in the Conscious Aging Program, is to take people through a choreographed process. And we start with presencing our own thoughts about a topic. So what's resonant for you about forgiveness right now? So people do what we call a free write, where they write for a little bit in response to a certain prompt. And you bring forth your own inner kind of thinking about it, and then we layer it over with some key ideas from inspirational thought leaders in that particular topic field. And then we sit in a small circle of four people, and we talk about it. And you really have time to voice your own ideas and to hear what other people are thinking. And then we harvest that across the table, so you know you hear what's happening at every table. So it's different forms of listening, that's really happening. And I think when that process is going on, we begin to see that, you know, I came in here with my personal story. You know, maybe I'm worried about illness of my spouse, but somebody else is dealing with a disability. Somebody else is dealing with money worries. And we begin to see, like, oh, you know, this is not just about my personal story. This is about the universal truth of aging, that as part of our human family, we're all aging and we're all in this together. And we can help each other. We can learn from each other. And it begins to open our heart. We have more compassion for what we're all dealing with. And we have more joy for how people are dealing with it successfully and the possibilities of this time of life. So the Conscious Aging Program is an 8-session workshop series. and we have a guide that helps facilitators to set up and conduct those programs wherever they are. And
if you're interested in finding one of these facilitators, you can look on the directory that's on the website. But one of the things that I'd like to talk about, I thought that Meg did a really beautiful job this morning of talking about the opportunities of aging. When you have, you know, a freedom of time to look at legacy leading and harvesting our strengths and so forth. But one of the things that I haven't really heard talked about that much so far on this conference, although Rick referred to it yesterday when he said it's in our shadows that we find our growth. And there's a lot of fear out there about aging. So there's a lot of people who are facing what is being called solo aging, where they may not have family around them or nearby or at all. They may not have close friends beyond their working environment that they feel they can call on. And this gives people a lot of fear. People are dealing with deaths of not only their spouses, but their social network. I remember one man in my work in a workshop, and he had four best friends throughout his whole life, and he did everything with them, and they were all dead now, and he was lost without them. And people are dealing with, you know, the obvious issues of aging, about death and life changes, losses, changes to you in retirement. And I think a lot of times people want to deny these fears. They want to not look there. They don't want to think about it. But I think there's a lot of heroism in those fears. If we can work with them, work through them, and come to a higher place about them. And I think that's part of working with our consciousness as well, is looking at the things that scare us the most and sort of detaching from them, watching them, and seeing how we can move beyond them and not get stuck in them. It's okay that we have these fears. It's okay that we have feelings of fearfulness, of depression and anxieties. These are our feelings, and they're real, and they're valid. But we also don't want to get stuck in them, where they become rigid, and that's how we become defined thereafter. You know, we all know stories of people who have become defined by their more negative aspects of their being. I think of a woman I know who was married for 40 years, the last 10 of which weren't particularly happy, and she lost her husband. And for the next 10 years that she lived, she was a professional widow. She was bitter. She was angry. She was sad. And that's all that she could be, and that's all that she could relate to you about. And the sad thing is that she had this beautiful living daughter who needed and wanted her attention, but she couldn't be present with her. She couldn't be present to her life, because all she could do was relate to her around the bitterness. And it was a loss for her, and it was a terrible loss for her daughter. And I think that's so sad. I think that's so sad. And so the question becomes, okay, these things exist, but how do we move beyond them so we don't get stuck? Don't get stuck. And one of the things that we do is to look at our life in review and to see, where have we met challenges in our life before? When things got tough, when we had struggles, how did we use our love? How did we use our strength? How did we use our gifts? What did we learn? And what were the qualities of our consciousness that were that we stand behind, that are really important to us in terms of defining who we are. And how can we take all of that and apply that to the challenges that we are working with and deal with? So, for example, my older sister right now is dealing with metastatic breast cancer. She's in the end stage of life. And she is working with a psychologist to do just this practice that we're talking about in a group. And in the group, they talk about their feelings. They talk about the things that are happening. But more importantly, they're looking at their stated values and how they've used their love to meet even these challenges, even this. And to repeat myself, but I think this is heroism to me. You know, sometimes when we talk about positive aging, people have these images of, the 90-year-old who's still a ballerina, or the 80-year-old who just climbed a high mountain, and examples of physical prowess. And if you've been given the longevity card and the healthy body card, these things are great. We love them because they give us another idea about what aging can possibly be. But I think it's, and they are great, but I think it's equally wonderful and equally inspiring, if not more, certainly more for me, when we see that people are dealing with something like a metastatic breast cancer, but they're still coming from love, and they're finding the spirit in their life in all the ways that they can. That's a hero to me. That's a real hero to me. So
that's
we have
right.
to
those
make
are,
space. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are the people who truly are engaged in the hero's journey. You know, facing
exactly.
all of those dragons and having the courage to face them and transform them and find the beauty and the love that lies at the other side. Kathleen, I'd like to ask you, given that you've been working with the IONS Conscious Aging Program, for a couple of years now, you have a lot of experience with it. What are you finding that people are seeing as the most challenging about the work presented in the Conscious Aging Program? What do people find most challenging about it?
That's a good question, Ron. I'll have to think about that for just a minute. I think that I would say forgiveness work can be very difficult for people. I think in the workshop series in general, when you get into things that really go deep, and cause people to examine some of these maybe shadow areas of their life. If people are defended about that, or unresolved about that, or private about that, or just in denial, they don't want to deal with it, then those topics can be challenging for people. And there are people who don't really want to look at aging. They'll look at maybe the positive aspects of aging, but they don't want to deal with the shadow side of aging. And I understand that. I mean, I think some people feel, I'm just going to go and be healthy and vibrant for as long as I can. And if something happens to me, then I'll deal with it. But if it doesn't, why should I have to deal with death now, for example? I hope death is 10 or 20 years off, and I don't want to think about death right now. And I understand that point of view, but I also think that there is an unintended consequence about that, which is that when you confront and look at some of these issues, I think it softens your heart, and I think it gives you an opportunity to make sure that you're living the days that you do have with as much meaning as you can. And I think it can be a big loss to possibly look back on your life and say, I wish I hadn't spent my remaining time in that way. I wish I had been more awake to the love in my life or to the things that I valued, and I wish I had spent more time on that. So I think looking at issues of mortality and looking at issues of where we may have wounds and betrayals gives us an opportunity to live our best life in the future, in the immediacy of time, and make sure that it's our best life. The other thing that the other reason why I think it's important to look at these harder issues is that we can, develop muscle in terms of our ability to work with our thoughts, look at ways to build more mindfulness in our life, to develop practices that are nourishing and calming to us. I think of a story about a woman I know who was a physician's assistant to her husband, who was a surgeon and had a medical practice. And she was very interested in learning about consciousness. She read books, she attended workshops, she had practices that she did on a daily basis. And he was not interested in that. He wasn't drawn to it. And he got cancer, and he was facing his end stage. And he became very afraid. He had to close his practice. His identity of who he was in the world changed radically. And he was facing serious body concerns about frailty. And he was afraid. And he said to his wife, "Will you teach me what you've learned?" And she got this thinking sensation, how am I going to do that in this short period of time that he has left? And she did what she could, but she realized it was too little and it was too late. So I think when we practice some of these aspects of consciousness now, when things get tough, we have the well to draw on to know how to be more mindful and to be more present and to deal with challenges.
Yes, we do. And do you know, as you're speaking, I'm reminded of how incredibly fortunate I feel that we are in these times that we live in to have access to the kind of resources and the kind of wisdom that we have access to. You know, including the beautiful IONS Conscious Aging Program. And I think of people I have known, like my parents, you know, other people, relatives, friends, colleagues who have died, who never had any awareness of these possibilities, never any awareness of what conscious aging can be, of the fact that it is possible to heal wounds from the past. It's possible to open our hearts. We're so fortunate to have these resources and these opportunities and this wisdom now that we have. And it's so important to me, as I know it is to you and to all of those who are participating in this summit, you know, as presenters or as listeners, it's important for us to realize that this is a precious opportunity and we can choose to take advantage of it. So thank you so much for what you're doing with Conscious Aging and with the IONS Conscious Aging Program. And Kathleen, we only have a couple minutes left. Is there, in just a moment or two, is there a final thought that you'd really like to emphasize, a final message you'd like to communicate to our listeners?
Oh, gosh. It ended so quickly, and there's so much more to say.
I know. We only have a moment or two.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'll just read this beautiful poem. It's a short little poem by David White I love. It's called A New Form of Harvest. At every stage in life, there's a possibility for a new form of harvest. It will not be the same as the previous harvest. If we can learn to place our identity at the edge of discovery, instead of back away, in which our expectations constantly cover over the actuality of what we're experiencing, then we have the possibility for a vital kind of life, a life in which others actually look to us for Inspiration. And that's by David White from Midlife and the Great Unknown.
Now, that's really beautiful. And I know that for me and for many others who do conscious aging work, the poetry of David White is one of our favorite sources of inspiration. And so I would encourage those who are listening to this session to check out the poetry of David White if you're not already familiar with him. It will touch you very, very deeply. Kathleen, I want to thank you so very much for spending this time with us and sharing your wisdom. I want to thank you for the good and important work that you're doing. And I want to wish you you and your work the very best moving forward. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.
And to all of you who are listening, a little announcement. In the last session, I made reference to summaries or recaps that people who register for the summit receive each day. And got a couple questions here. Well, how do people access those? And the answer to that is that each day of the summit, those who are registered receive an email from the Shift Network reminding you of the upcoming sessions in that particular day. And then as you read further down in that email, you will find a section that has recaps of the previous day's sessions. And so that's where you can find this information. So thank all of you for listening to this session. I think Kathleen provided us with some wonderful, wonderful wisdom and food for thought. And I invite you to be sure to join us for the next session in the Transforming Aging Summit. And until then, be well.
Thank you for joining us for the Transforming Aging Summit, brought to you by the Shift Network. For more information about joining our global community dedicated to helping people awaken to their divine humanity and take inspired action, visit www.theshiftnetwork.com. To learn more about the Amazing Aging Package, which is the online collection of top experts on conscious aging, or to add all of these interviews to your personal library, visit www.transformingagingsummit.com/upgrade. Thank you for sharing this summit with your friends and family. We appreciate your dedicated support.